Okay, 1, 2, 3. Hi, my name is Yujong, and I'm a student from South Korea, and I'm a recent graduate of Earlham College. This is part of a series where I'm interviewing professors and researchers in scholarliness in Iceland. So here with me today is Tamara. Could you introduce yourself?
So my name is Tamara. I am a student at Earlham College. I finished my junior year at Earlham, and now I'm going to be a senior. I am a computer science major, and I'm from Serbia, so I'm an international student at Earlham College.
Nice. So what does your daily life look like as a student researcher in Iceland right now?
So every day here is different, but we try to keep a structure to it as well. So every day I wake up around 8 a.m. and have breakfast, and then we have a meeting at 9 a.m. every day with the whole team. It's really nice to have a meeting with the whole team because it gives us like perspective on what everybody's doing, and we make sure that we are all on the same page and that like we know what each other are doing, so we're not doing the same thing twice or something like that. And in that meeting also, when we say what we're doing that day, we try to set a goal for like what are we going to finish that day, what is like feasible and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
So also our days really depend on the weather, because
really weather dependent.
So for flying drones, for flying the drones, you really need to depend on the weather, because if it's too windy, if it's raining too hard,
or snowing
right now, it's probably impossible to take images. I mean, it would be possible, but it's not really necessary. So we usually don't do it. So our days really depend on the weather.
I see. So on days where you're not flying the drones, what are you doing? Well, before that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what's your main role here in the research, and why do you fly the drones?
Oh, why do I fly the drones? I really don't know. I think that's how I'm designated. Like, they just told me to do it, and I'm doing it. But also,
but you're pretty good at it.
Yeah, and I like flying drones. So one of my main roles here is to collect data with the drones, and fly the drones, and make sure that the drones are working somewhat. They're usually very unexpected, so like you don't know what's gonna happen with them. Sometimes they just don't work because they don't want to work. I don't know. And yeah, but usually my main role is taking pictures of the drones. But I'm also interested in like doing analysis of the images after. So I'm starting to do also the assembly of the images and like visualization of the images. So. Yeah,
okay.
Those are kind of two of my main roles.
So what are the goals to like assemble and visualize the images, and what kind of contribution does that make to like the bigger Norse archaeology research that's going on?
Why are we doing all of this is because when we take the images with the drones, it gives like a really good perspective on the archaeological side, because it's like from like basically like bird's view kind of, so you can see like everything much clearer, you can see it like from basically the sky, so it's really easier for archaeologists if they have that kind of view to notice different patterns in the like ground, so it's much easier for them in that way to pick like sites that they want to explore more. So what we do is usually we fly the drone, and the drone usually in like one flight it will take around like maybe like 150 images, depending on like the size, of course, of the site that we're trying to survey. So it takes all those images, and then we have to kind of assemble them. And there's a lot of softwares that do that. So we use a software called ODM, it's Open Drone Map. That's ODM. But what it does is basically every image has like a georeference location attached to it, and then like this software basically helps orient all these images together, so you can produce a 2D or a 3D map, and we get maps that are much better than, for example, what you would get from like Google Maps or like Google Earth, because it's much closer. It's only 30 meters away from the ground when we're taking the images, so the details are much better. And that's when we're taking basically the normal images, like the visual light images, but also we take near-infrared images. And we follow the same process with the near-infrared images, with the assembly. But yeah, so the near-infrared is much more useful for looking at plants, kind of, and looking at like any kind of grass or, for example, moss in Iceland. It shows like differences. If there's, for example, if there's more nutrition in the ground, you can see that from the NIR images. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Let me check my phone. With...
Because
it died on us last time
interviewing, so okay, great.
It's working.
So why do you use the near infrared camera versus like the usual normal camera that we use?
Oh, so we use the infrared camera because it shows light in a much different way, in a different spectrum. It picks up different like reflective frequency, which is a near infrared frequency, and this is the frequency in which usually plants kind of communicate. I'm not really a biologist. I don't know that much why. Like, infrared is the one that shows this kind of changes in the soil.
So does it show us, like, if people who were settled there in the past have, like, had any plants?
No, it shows, like, for example, if you would have a... if there was, like, a iron, like, melting pot. Like some place where they used to melt iron to make ships, for example, and they would like use this like space always for that. The ground there is like burnt down like a lot because over years people were trying to burn stuff there. So it's really hard for plants to grow there because they don't have that much nutrition there. And because of that, like the plants are very like malnourished basically. They like they don't have like a lot of like calcium or like any other. Any other substances like plants have, so you can notice those changes in the ground. Or for example, if like you have, if for example we would find some place where there was usually food being made, like for example, if there's like you can find like even residues of like for example like in the soil you can find like residues of like salmon or something like that.
Oh, I see. That's interesting.
But, like, that's more on, like, a biological level. Like, you would have to take, like, soil samples.
I see, I see.
But, like, potentially, like, you can spot, like, the changes in the ground and, like, look
more. So it's
more
a good starting point.
Yeah.
Look more into it. Okay. So can you tell me about, like, this drone and, like, what other kinds of drone that do you buy? Like, how many do you guys have?
Okay, so we have actually kind of a lot of drones. So we have two... P3s, which is like from the Phantom 3 series. Those are like more older drones. I think the Phantom 3 series was from like 2014, around that, when it came out. So we actually have three Phantom 3s, which two of them work and one of them doesn't work. And one of them has the near-infrared camera, which we kind of made. We changed the lens on the camera to make it infrared. And then the other one is just normal visual light. And then we have this Phantom 4 series, which is like a newer series. This is like a Phantom 4 Pro, and this is like the newer series of the Phantom series, which is also kind of still old now because DJI has like newer drones now. But yeah, so that those are the drones that we have from DJI. And we also have two Sparks, which is also a DJI drone, which is which we use for when we do it, taking the soil samples. We take an image above the soil sample to also have like the geo reference like location, and then we have also newer drones. So we have like the new drone that is the Sky DIO, or I think that's how it's pronounced. That's the brand. And it's a really cool drone because it's it has a lot of cameras attached to it, and it uses completely its cameras to orient itself, rather than, for example, the Phantom 3 and Phantom 4, they rely much more on like GPS location and things like that to like make sure that like they're kind of flying in the right direction. But like the Skydio has a lot of cameras, so you can really make sure that it's like not hitting into objects, and that it's like following people. Even you can follow people, or you can like yeah, do a lot of cool stuff.
It has like two cameras on top, two cameras in the bottom.
Yeah.
Are there more besides the main one?
Yeah, I think there's like a couple
in the center.
Yeah, I think there's a couple in the bottom as well. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and also these ones have like cameras. For example, on the sides, like the P4 has cameras on the sides as well.
I see.
Yeah, and sure. Then we have also a Parrot, which is Parrot and Afi drone. It's one of our smaller drones. It's also just for visualized light images. Yeah.
I see. So what's the like the ultimate goal that you guys want to achieve through this project?
So what we want to achieve is basically to make like a kind of like a blueprint on how you can easily do surveying of archaeological sites. We feel like this should be more like widely accessible to archaeologists, because when we talk to them, they always say that this is something they would want to include in their research, but usually people don't, because they're not sure if they are capable of like flying the drones and like organizing images and stuff like that, especially on the analysis side, like analyzing images and stuff is like hard.
And I think software is generally like hard to get into in the beginning.
Yeah, it's hard to, so that's why like for example our teammate David is making the interface that is much more user friendly for doing the analysis, so like that, so that the archaeologists can do it much more.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So do you guys have plans to like distribute that for free or for?
Yeah, for sure. Our software is definitely going to be open source. We are still in the phase where like we can't make it public.
Right. Because we're still developing.
Yeah.
Right.
But. Yeah, everything we are doing should be basically zero cost, almost, except the, of course, the drones. Like, you need to buy them.
Yeah.
But we're also trying to make sure that, like, we can show that you can use even older drones, because we're using, like, Phantom 3 and Phantom 4, which is now, like, somewhat affordable, especially with the, like, advancements that are happening in drones. We're not saying, like, oh, you have to buy, like,
the newest.
Yeah, exactly. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Is there anything else that you want to share or comment on? Anything about Iceland?
No, not really. This is my first time in Iceland. And
do you like it so far?
Yeah. And it's really nice to see this research come to life, because I've been working on this kind of over the last year. And it's really hard to visualize everything when you're not here. But being here, it's really amazing. And I'm happy that I finally, it's like everything paid off.
That's really cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today. And let us know in the comments if you also want to try flying the drones or try out the software that we are developing. And yeah, stay tuned for more interviews with other researchers. Bye. What if it didn't get recorded?
No, obviously.
Really fucked up.
Oh, he took that like it's out of like, okay, we fucked up.
That was so nice. I love this view.
Can I see?
Yeah.
If it's raining,
you like it?
Or snowing right now, it's probably possible to take images. I mean, it would be possible, but it's not really necessary. So we usually don't do it. So our days really depend on the weather.
So on days where you're not flying drones, well, before that actually, so like, what's your main goal here?
Oh, I never asked you the question. On days where you're not flying drones, what do you do?
So my
good.